Okay, Kinder, let's see. Oh, I thought I switched it on. Okay. Testing, testing. Can everyone hear me?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, good.
Okay, my bad. Well, I'm gonna speak from down here today. And I don't know if this is working, but it's working a little bit now. Maybe I'll move it. Is that any better? Can everybody hear me okay? Y'all just talk this loud. So, okay, well, I usually speak from up here, but today I wanted to use the board, so I'll speak from down here. I'll begin with a reading from the writings of Shinran Shoni. This talks about the way in which our lives change moment to moment throughout our existence and from lifetime to lifetime. So I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho, I'm sorry. Return to this house of transmigration, of birth and death, is decidedly caused by doubt. Swift entrance into the city of tranquility, the uncreated, is necessarily brought about by Shinji. Mayoi no sekai ni rinne shi tsuzukeru no wa hongan o utagai wa karo kara utara de aru. Sumiyaka ni satori no sekai ni hairu ni wa tada hongan o shinjiru yori hoka wa nai to naman da utsu. Okay, good morning, everyone. Ohayou gozaimasu. A little bit different perspective. You don't have to crane your necks to look up at me today. I'm going to speak from down here. This is a special month, the month of April. We have a special service coming up next month. Does anyone know what our special Buddhist service is that we're observing? Actually, next week. Hanamatsuri, that's right. And what is the Hanamatsuri service a celebration of? Does anyone know? The birth of Buddha, that's right. The Buddha's birthday celebration. And so when you come here next Sunday, the arrangement will be a little bit different. What do you expect to see up here next Sunday? What are you going to see? Right where I'm standing, there'll be lots of flowers. That's right. And will the incense burner be out here next Sunday? No, there'll be something different. What will be sitting right here? Do you know, Dilma? The Buddha. That's right. That's right. The Buddha will be here in a very special floral shrine. We call it the Hanamido. And what will the Buddha be doing? Do you know?
You will bathe in tea.
That's right. We'll bathe the sweet Buddha in tea. And how will the Buddha be standing? That's right. One finger pointing up and one finger pointing down, right? So we'll have the statue of the baby Buddha, and he'll be standing here, and the one hand will be pointing upward. Right. He'll be standing here. He's not quite the Buddha yet, so he doesn't have that bump on his head. He's got a little bit of hair because he's a newborn baby, right? And what's the other arm doing? It's pointing downward, isn't it? That's right. See, like this. That's the baby Buddha. He'll be standing here. His legs are the same length. Right? And he's wearing some kind of loose Indian style pants called a dhoti. So, we'll have the baby Buddha. So this picture, this little statue of the baby Buddha, this is blown up like 10 times the size of the one we'll have here. You can all see he's standing like this. And it said that when the baby Buddha was born, the first thing he did was he walked 7 steps. 7 steps. That's marvelous, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever met a baby before? A brand newborn baby? Could it walk? No, no. So this is a special baby, baby Buddha. And it said that he took 7 steps, and in each of those steps, there bloomed a lotus flower. That's what this is. This is a lotus flower. Okay, so he walked 7 steps, and in each step, a lotus flower bloomed. Oh, I ran out of space, so he'll put one more right here. Okay, these are lotus flowers. So he took 7 steps, and then he pointed one hand to the sky and one hand down to the earth, and he said, "This birth is the birth of a Buddha. It's the birth of a Buddha. This will be my last time to be reborn in this world." Right? So this is based on the understanding that there are six worlds of birth. We call them the 6 paths of birth. And that the Buddha, so we have 6 of these paths, right? 6. And 7 flowers, 7 steps. So what is the difference between 6 and 7?
1.
Is it more or less? More, right? 7 is one more. One more than 6. Gabby, Oma?
And also 3 plus 3 makes 6.
That's right. That's right. 3 plus 3, and there are, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So there are 3 on the top and 3 on the bottom, right? But so he went one more than 6. That means that he went 7. He went beyond. He went beyond these 6 worlds. So have you ever heard of the 6 paths of birth in Buddhism? Have you ever heard this teaching? Can anyone name one of them? One of the paths? I'll give you a hint. One of them is us, right? We're the humans, right? The human path, right? So one of these paths of birth are the humans, right? We have the human path. Yeah, do you know that? The animals, that's right. So we also have animals. That's right. Animals, some we have all different kinds of animals, but some have 4 legs, right? Okay, animals. There's another one. Oh, you know, I put the humans in the wrong spot. Humans. So we're going to get more like stick fingers now. Humans, I'll write a little more neatly here. We've got the humans, we've got the animals. We also have one that's called the hungry ghosts, yeah? Yeah, Yoma, do you have something? And the Buddha, that's right. That's right, we'll talk about the Buddha too. But we have one called the hungry ghosts, right? Hungry ghosts are very interesting. Hungry ghosts, they look kind of like humans, but they have little tiny necks and great big bellies. Little tiny necks and great big bellies. And out of the mouths of hungry ghosts, they're shooting some fire. Fire is coming out of their mouths. That's because hungry ghosts have a big appetite. They're always hungry. They're always hungry. Do you know anybody who's always hungry? maybe like a teenager that you know, always wanting to eat. Where's the food? Always looking in the fridge, right? Hungry goats are always hungry, but they have these little tiny necks, and that's because no food or water can fit down. In fact, whenever they get something to eat or something to drink, as soon as it touches their mouth, bursts into flames, right? How does that sound?
Horrible,
right? It sounds horrible. In fact, in Buddhism, there's one birth that's even worse than a hungry ghost. There are hells in Buddhism. I bet you, maybe you didn't know that, but there are hells, and the hells are very, very unpleasant places to live, right? Very, very miserable place to live. It's a place where people are very angry. They get really angry, right? Angry, upset, frustrated, hate others. So we call that the birth in the hells. But the thing about Buddhism is that when you're born into one of these realms, it's not permanent, but you will one day be reborn in another one of these realms, right? And there's another realm. It's a realm called the Asuras. The Asuras are, sometimes we call them the fighting titans. The fighting titans, they're competitors, right? They're always competing. And in Buddhism, they're traditionally depicted as warriors. This is supposed to be a bow and an arrow. See, and we'll give him a helmet too. Okay, so the Asuras are always competing. They're always kind of trying to do better, trying to win, always having battles. They always look to others who seem to have something better than they have, and they always try to get that. They try to get what others have, and they're always competing with others. Particularly, they compete with one of these realms called the Devas. We talked about the Devas a little bit in the past here. The Devas are always very happy, and they're like kings. This is one who's flying and playing a flute because he's having so much fun. We have, a few weeks ago we looked at the candlesticks, and we saw that there were some musicians who were flying around and playing music. Yajuma? The Buddhist angels, some people call them the Buddhist angels, right? And those are the Devas. And the Devas are very happy. They get what they want, and they enjoy having whatever they wish. Their desires are fulfilled, okay? So in Buddhism, our way of living every day is like we're going through these six realms. Okay? So imagine you're on your way home from school. What do you do first thing when you get home from school? What's the first thing you want to do? Yeah, Miles? You want to do your homework? Wonderful. That's great. Anything else that you might like to do when you get home from school? Yeah, Doma?
Play with your toys.
Does anybody have a snack when they get home from school? Sometimes when I was a kid, the first thing I always wanted to do was have a snack, right? So sometimes I would want to have a snack, and sometimes my friends would invite me over to their house after school, and we'd go over, and my friend would say, "We've got some delicious cookies at my house, so we better get home before my sister gets home, because if she gets home first, she and her friends are going to eat all the cookies." So we were asuras. We were competing, we were racing, trying to get home first so that we could get the cookies. And you know what? We got home, opened the door, no sister, no sister's friends. So we ran downstairs, opened up the cookies, and enjoyed eating the cookies. We knew what we wanted, and we got to enjoy what we wanted. Mmm, delicious cookies. Yum, yum, yum. And did we think, maybe we should save some for your sister and her friends? No. We just ate up all the cookies. We were like hungry ghosts, right? We couldn't be satisfied. We ate up all the cookies, and then pretty soon all the cookies were gone. But we were still hungry. So we went to my friend's mother, and we said, do you have any more cookies? She said, no, we have some delicious apples. No thanks. Apples are good, right? Even though we had something good, we couldn't enjoy it. And that's like the hungry ghost. Even if it gets something, gets some food, gets some water, it doesn't enjoy it. It bursts into flames because it has that idea. I wanted an apple. I wanted a cookie, not an apple. So I can't enjoy this, right? So then we think, oh, we're really thirsty. We're really thirsty. So we went to the fridge for some chocolate milk. Chocolate milk. Does anyone here like to drink chocolate milk? A few people do. I love chocolate milk. So we went and we opened up the fridge. There was the chocolate milk carton. We went to pour it out. It was empty. It was empty. My friend said, my sister must have drank up all the chocolate milk. Oh, we were so mad. So mad. So angry. Right? So angry. And then, just at that moment, my friend's sister comes home. And they start fighting. And I start fighting with my friend's sister's friend. You drank up all the... We're fighting. We're in the hell realm, right? Angry. We're fighting. And just at that moment, my friend's mother says, if you guys don't quit fighting, we're never buying any more cookies. What do you think we did? We stopped fighting, right? But we didn't stop fighting because we realized, oh, we should all share the cookies and the chocolate milk. We didn't stop fighting because we realized, oh, there's still delicious plain milk and apples. We stopped fighting because our friend's mom threatened not to give us any more cookies. So an animal doesn't think about what it should do. Does anyone have animals in their house? Yeah, maybe cats, maybe dogs. Sometimes you have to train those animals, right? Right? And so how do you train animals? How do you train a dog not to go potty on the floor? Right? Yes?
Discipline.
Discipline, right? You shout at it, right? You shout at the dog. And so the dog doesn't want to be shouted at, so it doesn't do it. It doesn't pee on, it doesn't refrain from peeing on the floor because it knows, oh, I shouldn't make a mess in this house. It does it because it's afraid of getting yelled at. And that was like us, right? We were doing what my friend's mom said, not because we knew it was the right thing to do, but because we were afraid that we wouldn't get cookies, right? So that is the life of an animal, doing things to get rewards or doing things because you don't want to be punished, but not understanding the real reason why you should do things, right? And so after that, we said, okay, you know, we won't fight anymore. And then we said, why don't we play a game of Monopoly? Right? So we got out the Monopoly board, we started playing a game, and we had a great time with each other. And that was life in the human realm. To share, to recognize that if we all get together and we all live comfortably, we can have a happier life by sharing and cooperating. So these are six different ways of living. Of these six, which one do you think is the best? The best circumstance for living? Yeah, Phoebe? The humans, right? The humans. Sometimes we read the Threefold Refuge. Hard is it to be born into human life? Now I'm living it, right? Difficult is it to hear the teachings of the Blessed One. Now I hear it, right? So we get to hear the teachings of the Buddha when we live in the human realm. Yeah, Gyoma? But this is also a good realm. So the Devas, the Asuras, these three, we call these the good births, the good realms, because when you're in these three states, you can still hear the teachings of the Buddha, right? These ones down here, we say, these are the bad ones. Not because these beings are bad, but because if you're born into one of these realms, your life is so miserable that you can't hear the teaching of the Buddha. So the goal of Buddhism is first to dwell in the human realm, but then to take this one last step, right? To break out of these six cycles, and that's what the Buddha did. He said, this is my last time to be born into any of these realms, because in this lifetime, I'm going to realize nirvana. Nirvana is a Sanskrit word. It means to blow out, like to blow out a flame, and it means to be free. Nirvana is to be free of these six realms so that you don't go constantly around and around. Now I'm kind and I'm playing nicely, but then somebody makes me mad and I'm going to fight, right? Or now I'm sharing nicely, but I think I want to just keep all this for myself, right? And I'm going to get too greedy. So normally in our lives, we go through all these realms again and again. But the goal of Buddhism, first, to receive human life, we've all done it. We're almost there. The next thing to do is to hear the teaching of the Buddha so that we can break out and be free. Be free. So in our Buddhist tradition, we talk about Shinjin. In this passage that I read, it used the word Shinjin. This is a word that means to believe the teachings of the Buddha. And if you believe the Buddha's teaching, if you hear it and believe it, then you can realize nirvana. For us, we realize nirvana through birth in the Pure Land. This space up here, where we have the Buddha and all the teachers, this all represents the Pure Land, the world of the Buddha's enlightenment. And that's where we're trying to be born so that we can realize nirvana and be free from suffering. The way to do that is to listen to the Buddha's teaching and to recognize first how we're cycling through all these realms, to try our best to stay here in this human realm and to live in that way where we can hear the Dharma, believe the teachings, say the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu, which means I take refuge in the awakened one, the Buddha, of immeasurable light and life, immeasurable wisdom and compassion. And in that way, we can realize birth in this world of enlightenment, realize nirvana, to be free from all of this going around and around. And we too can take this last seventh step. まあ人生はこういう陸に輪廻、この生じ輪廻と言われるんですけど、次々と移り変わって、 時には嬉しい、時には怒ってる、時には優しい、時には貪ってる。という生き方はまず人間として生きて、それから仏様の教えを聞いて信じて、この涅槃というのは解放される。で、その解放される方法は仏様の御教えを信じ、お浄土に往生して、そこで涅槃を得るということ。 So we'll conclude here. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Let us together say the Nembutsu. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo
Amida Butsu. Thank you very much, Sensei. That's very interesting and fun. Now I understand my husband. and your artwork is very good.